Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm John Schaefer, and we are joined in the Soundcheck studio today by William Tyler, a well-traveled guitarist who's worked with indie artists like Lamb Chop and the late country music veteran Charlie Louvin. In the background, you're hearing William Tyler's second album as a solo guitarist. It's called Impossible Truth. And here at Soundcheck, we like this mesmerizing collection of songs so much that we were falling all over each other to book him for the studio today. This first song that he's going to play for us is called Portrait of Sarah. Here's William Tyler, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That is guitarist William Tyler with his piece called Portrait of Sarah, played live here in the Soundcheck studio, although you'll find it on his latest record, Impossible Truth, as well. William Tyler, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
So, Portrait of Sarah. She sounds like a graceful lady, but one full of surprises.
That actually is a pretty good description of her.
Really? Who is Sarah?
She's my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's, I wrote that. Right, I guess right when we met, it was about 2 years ago. Yeah, it was sort of a courtship song.
Uh-huh.
And it definitely, like...
And how did that go over?
she was very flattered.
Okay, good.
But, I mean, I think just the nature of that song, it's obviously very hopeful in its melodic structure, I think. And it's a lot more probably joyful than some of the other stuff on this record, and I think that was why I wanted it in there, sort of as a intermission piece almost. Of, you know,
a little streak of light.
Yeah, a streak of light and a lot of, you know, in a you know, room of moodiness. So,
well, I mean, the album Impossible Truth, it has titles like Country of Illusion, The Geography of Nowhere, We Can't Go Home Again. I mean, there does seem to be a kind of, I don't know, a recurring, I don't know if you'd call it a theme, but a recurring mood of kind of dislocation, perhaps.
It's a theme of dislocation, I think a theme of, I mean, I
world weariness? You just sound so world weary there, William.
I sounded world weary. World weary is what happens when you get a guy from Nashville in New York for more than 24 hours. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, I mean, there is a concept behind the record. I mean, there's definitely a heavy apocalypse vibe in it, and I think, you know, that's very intentional. And the titles are explicit references to certain things, and, you know, books, moods. But I want to get people engaged in some sort of discussion, or at least musing over some of the things that are thematically at play here. And most of them are pretty morose, but the music's also, you know, it's instrumental music. And
right.
So by its nature, I feel like it's opening itself up for either kind of a little more deliberate listening or complete ignoring, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's either completely ambient or completely engaging. So I don't know. I guess playing instrumental music, you know, not necessarily having lyrical narrative structures to what's going on. I think, you know, I decided I wanted to try to tell a story
without words,
yeah. Even if that meant basically just having it in the titles or having it be something that was very, very loose.
Your first record was also instrumental.
Right.
Have you written songs? I mean, actual, you know, lyrics?
Lyrics. It's actually something I used to do quite a bit, but it almost feels like a different lifetime. And yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to like make it sound like it's more important than it is. It's just I started writing songs when I was 17, 18, you know, in bands in high school, and they tended to be kind of a little more sophisticated power pop type songs. I was listening to a lot of Elvis Costello and Nick Lowe and stuff like that, and I guess I was. It's just one of those things where I think the further away I got from being in a band where I was the singer and the writer, which basically was the entirety of my 20s, and that was spent like being a side person with other people, and I think I just kind of stopped doing my own music because I was at a age where, you know, you tend to be re-examining a lot of things, especially if you're backing up other people and they're older than you and they're more experienced. And, you know, there's a combination of second guessing. There's a combination of just reevaluating and learning about new musical forms. And just the process of that, I completely stepped away from writing anything. And when I came back to it, it was in this sort of fragmentary approach of like writing pieces but not necessarily finishing them, and then being like, well, I don't have any words, so I'm just going to leave it
right,
as an
right.
instrumental. And, you know, that's how that process started.
Now, you worked with all these different people, Silver Jews and Lamb Chop, the late Charlie Louvin, and so many others, but you also mentioned listening to, you know, Elvis Costello and that whole crowd. At what point did you discover John Fahey, the late American guitarist?
Pretty early. I mean, I had a I don't know if it's still in print, but there was, when I was 16, I went to the bookstore and found the Spin Alternative Record Guide, and I remember, like, they had entries for all these different people, like, you know, that I'd never heard of, Can, John Zorn, Fahey, you know, whatever, and that was the only source I had, literally. I mean, I had, like, books, you know, Trouser Press Guide, and whatever, old record collector guides, because, you know, that was before any sort of internet presence, and we didn't have a cool record store in Nashville at the time. So I went to the library and, you know, checked out a John Fahey CD, and, you know, it was one of those things that was just part of a musical self-education at that time. I mean, I think around the time that I started playing in Lamb Chop, I was 19, 20, around that age, and I was sort of also just at an important age of, like, where, you know, you become this musical sponge for, you know, your older record collector buddies are like, hey, check this out, incredible string band. Oh, you like that? Okay, check this out. And then I worked at a record store for a while, and a lot of that stuff would come through, and Sandy Bull was another huge influence.
English guitarist. And
he was actually American.
Was he American?
Yeah, he spent the last years of his life in Nashville, oddly enough. But, and then, yeah,
another
the English guys.
Sort of obscure figure, though.
Right.
You know?
Well, there were a lot of them. I mean, and then, just kind of absorbing that. And then I don't really even remember when I started trying to mess around with the fingerstyle method of guitar.
Here's the thing, though, because, you know, people referred to what Fahey did with the open tunings and the finger picking and the mix of different. They referred to it as American primitive.
Right.
And there, as you well know, playing, you know, some of this stuff you saw, there's nothing primitive about it. It's quite a sophisticated approach to the guitar.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting term. You know, I don't feel like educated enough about the origin of that term to comment on it, other than, yeah, it's certainly what he did is not primitive. Now, there are times where I feel like what I do is primitive, but or at least humbling. But, you know, I just think that he came along at such an important point in, you know, American music, where there really was this attempt of, like, people like my age or whatever, like, rediscovering the pre-war blues stuff, and that becoming something that was, like, they were collector's items now and not just, like, old records.
Right.
And then you had people who were truly visionary like him reappropriating that music and doing something completely original with it. And, you know, that's why he is who he is, and he looms incredibly large over anything that anybody does with solo guitar.
Yeah. Well, we're speaking with William Tyler, who is here with several solo guitars.
three, in fact.
One for each song. he's performing tonight here in New York at the Mercury Lounge. William is performing for our WDET listeners. He's performing on April 22nd at PJ's Logger House in Detroit. And playing for us, obviously, here in the studio. Now, you've picked up an electric guitar, right?
This is an electric 12-string. Yep.
You don't see so many of those. What are you going to play on this?
I'm going to do a song. This is also an Impossible Truth. It's called Cadillac Desert.
All right. Once again, William Tyler with us live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
Cadillac Desert is the song from William Tyler, the guitarist, with us on Soundcheck today. There's a version of that on his latest record, Impossible Truth, that also features a bit of lap steel and even some vibraphones on the other version of that song. Nice to hear it in this solo version, though, on the electric 12-string guitar. So, William, you mentioned before that you actually worked in a record store at one point in Nashville, right?
Yeah. So I think that's a rite of passage for a struggling musician. Be surrounded by things that you can't afford but you want to listen to.
All right. So you would be a good person to toss this question to. We were debating earlier in the program Record Store Day, you know, which is this Saturday. Because it was this idea that seemed like a good idea 5 years ago, and now there are some people who are saying, well, yeah, but it was a good idea 5 years ago. Now it's just like people doing these, you know, kind of weird little one-off things, and it's not really helping.
Right.
What do you think about Record Store Day?
Well, I mean, I do think it's, sadly, you know, maybe the one day of the year that there's attention brought to something that I think is the most important thing that's keeping music alive, other than things like public radio, because
Would be record stores, independent record stores.
Sorry, yeah. Because I mean, to be honest, I mean, I don't know what it's like here, but I mean, in Nashville, there's one or two independent record stores, and the chains have all gone out of business.
Right.
And you know, the small record stores are keeping everything alive, and they're really in the trenches. I mean, they're the kind of things where, you know, if you have a good relationship with a record store in a town, they can assure you that you have an audience for your music.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me. It's happened to a lot of my friends. I played a record store in Greenville, South Carolina. I've never even played a show in South Carolina. And, you know, the guy has a store there called Horizon. And there's the store in Nashville, Grimey's, that I'm friends with, they're, you know, similar, you know, independent model. And I think that the part maybe that gets a little exhausting is just how much the releases kind of are saturated on that day. And from a fact, and having put out other people's records, because I used to have a small label, you know, the record plants, and everybody gets a little bit overexerted around there just trying to meet these crazy deadlines. But you know, it's like Black Friday with other retail. I mean, it's like, you know, there has to be a period where everybody's, you know, racing to get something done. And just with the industry like independent music, I think it's just, I don't know. Yeah, I have mixed feelings about maybe like the Christmasification of it. But
if it's
like the one day of the year that people like remember to go down and, you know,
Hey, there's an independent record store
in our
town.
I mean, because there's just so many things in today that we take for granted, and I just feel like that is like one of the last lifelines that we have that, you know.
Well, that seems like a very measured and nuanced response to our earlier Soundcheck Smackdown question from William Tyler, who is playing tonight here in New York at the Mercury Lounge. William is playing April 22nd at PJ's Logger House in Detroit. WDET listeners, you can catch him there. And, of course, he's playing for us here in the studio, and yet another change of guitar, this time to a six-string electric. For another piece, you want to do The Geography of Nowhere?
Yeah, I'd like to do this one.
All right. Once again, William Tyler's most recent album is called Impossible Truth. This is on it, but this is a live performance in the Soundcheck studio. That is William Tyler, live on Soundcheck with a piece called The Geography of Nowhere, live on the electric six-string guitar, the third of the three guitars that he's brought into the studio today. That sounds, at the beginning and end, as if it wants to be a piece of surf guitar, but it keeps getting bogged down in this kind of swamp thing.
Yeah, it's that song, you know, it has a really specific genesis point, and I was taking a trip about 3 years ago. I had saved up money for a couple of years to take a crazy solo trip, and I went by train and bus and car all the way from Germany to Beirut.
Wow.
So kind of like around the shadowing the Orient Express route, and I took a train, an overnight train from Istanbul to the border with Syria in the south, and it was like a 22-hour train ride. And I was one of the only, I mean, it was a pretty lightly populated train, and but it was really nice. And I was sitting in the dining car, kind of reading and just looking out the window at this arid landscape going by. And the guy who was working at the coffee counter in the dining car had a Walkman or some sort of MP3 player with a speaker in it that he only had one song on it. He kept playing the same song over and over and over again, and it was a woman singing, and it was I'm assuming an older folk ballad, and it was just this amazing, grainy, haunting melody, and that was kind of what I was trying to remember when I got home, because it was in my head for weeks,
yeah.
And it was kind of a memento of that trip, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's also like a really pretty intense landscape there. I mean, it's kind of like West Texas. It's like there's nothing and nothing and nothing for, you know, hours. You just watch no villages, and it's a really haunted landscape too, because it was, you know, traditionally like the one of the heavily Armenian parts of Turkey.
Right.
So I was thinking about kind of all that in the history, and then of course, you know, like I spent a week going through Syria, and that is,
when was that?
2010.
Yeah.
Which is incredible to think about.
Yeah.
Because I felt completely, I mean, safe. I mean, I'm not naive, but I mean, as a tourist, I was by myself for about 5 days, and, you know, of course,
a year and a half later, it would have been a very different thing.
Right, and I think about that actually a lot when I play that song, because you know, a sense of place is really important to my music, and travel has definitely, you know, enhanced that in a lot of ways. So,
well, William, your dad was a songwriter. Dan Tyler wrote for people like Eddie Money and Leanne Grimes.
Eddie Rabbit.
Eddie Rabbit.
That would have been so awesome if he had written for Eddie Money.
Eddie Rabbit, right.
He would have taken a lot more vacations.
well, one of the things we've been talking about on the show all through this week,
I should say he still is a songwriter. He hasn't officially retired.
Okay.
I don't want him to get in trouble for that.
Well, I mean, you were talking before about being 19 and 20 and being a musical sponge, you know? But the real musical sponges are little kids.
Right.
And we've been talking about the music that you grew up with, that your parents first played for you when you were really young. What would your parents play for you when you were like 3 and 4, et cetera?
You know, to be honest, my dad is not a record collector. I didn't, you know, neither was my mom. I was just kind of peripherally aware of the music that was going around me at the time, which, you know, was a lot of 80s country. You know, older rock records, you know, the usual kind of Dylan, Stones, that kind of stuff. But, you know, the music that I think I was probably the most actively aware of was the stuff that, like, they would play, you know, sitting around the living room, and, you know, their friends would come over, and there were always guitars around, there were always people coming over, and there were parties that kept me up late at night, and, you know, weird old people with long hair. And
so for you, it was a live music experience as opposed to your parents' record collection.
Yeah, I think I might have been about 4, and we saw Jason and the Scorchers outside somewhere in Nashville or something like that. It was but, like, to be honest, I was pretty uninterested in certainly in country, but also kind of in rock music. I mean, the stuff I listened to in my bedroom when I was a really little kid was like classical records. My granddad had a lot of classical music, and I just sort of inherited his taste for it. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't really start becoming, I guess, an active consumer of, like, music until, until much later, until I was in high school.
Well, and now, apparently, you can't be stopped.
I can't. Well, the bug bit me. There's a great John Prine quote about, if you think getting into the music business is hard, try getting out of it. That's definitely applicable to a lot of people I grew up with.
All right. Well, that's our second John Prine reference on the show today. William Tyler with us here in the Soundcheck studio. The new album from William Tyler is called Impossible Truth. He is performing tonight in New York at the Mercury Lounge. He'll be in Detroit at PJ's Logger House April 22nd. WDET listeners, take note. And William, thank you so much for performing for us here in the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, let me also remind you that tomorrow, 2 p.m., the British soul R&B singer, songwriter, and keyboardist Jamie Liddell will be setting up shop here in the studio. You can tune in at soundcheck.org tomorrow, 2 p.m. On Thursday, it's Ivan and Alyosha, and on Friday, it's the spoken word artist and songwriter Carl Hancock Rux. So join us for any or all of those, 2 o'clock each day here at soundcheck.org.